We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, but right now we're going to go down to Florida. He normally starts in Florida this time of year and then works his way back to the Cactus League. He's in the grapefruit circuit right now. We're joined by Scott Miller from Bleacher Report. Scotty, welcome to the show, and hope traveling to Florida was nice and smooth.
I appreciate it. How you doing? Nice to be with you guys. I spent the day with the Houston Astros today. Did I miss anything back home?
You did if you were under a rock.
Yeah, I think, Tony, it was tough to miss this one regardless. Like Coach said in the beginning, or somebody said, you know, I mean, there's not just buzz in San Diego, but throughout the baseball industry. And, I've been the past 5 or 6 days, I guess, I've been with the Yankees and the Phillies and the Blue Jays and the Twins and the Astros. And, people are talking, players, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, where are people going to go? And, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams would have attached the phrase, the richest free agent contract in professional sports history, with the San Diego Padres.
Scotty, 2 years in a row, the Padres signed the number one free agent on the board. I guess there could be some argument whether Bryce Harper's the number one guy or not in this particular year. But does this kind of change the outlook of free agents and how they look at San Diego? Consider the last 2 years, they've been willing to spend more money than they've ever spent before.
Yeah, Tony, players, two things are important to players, as you well know. Money, am I going to get paid? And what I don't think the general public understands so much, they're quick to say, players are greedy. But I'll tell you what, players get to the major leagues because not only are they really talented, but the ones that get to the majors are super competitive.
Yeah.
And you don't just turn that off. And so, yeah, there's competition not just on the field among players, but among, contracts and salaries. And so the Padres pulling something, as you just said, with Hosmer and Machado, that's going to catch players' attention. And I said players want two things, money and a chance to win. And if the Padres, with the young talent, can mesh that with Hosmer, with Machado, both of whom should still be in their prime the next few years, then, it could be a really good thing in San Diego for the foreseeable future.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report joining us tonight on 97.3 The Fan, Gwen and Chris. Scotty, I know you covered the playoffs. I know you covered the World Series. You've been covering baseball for a long period of time. What can you tell us from your angle regarding Manny Machado?
Well, he's super competitive, and obviously we know the talent. We see the talent. And I'll give you a couple of stories. One, 2 years ago, the year after the All-Star Game was in San Diego, when it was going to be in Miami, Machado didn't make the All-Star Game that year. But nevertheless, the All-Star Game was in Miami. Machado and several others, there's a little group from Miami down there, Yonder Alonso, John Jay, Gio Gonzalez. So I did a long feature on Machado, talked to a bunch of those guys, and I went back to Baltimore for it. And I found it interesting. I checked in with Machado. I was in Baltimore for about 3 days. And first day in, I went up, said hello, and told him, hey, I'm here to, I'd like to get some time with you, sit down with you, I'm working on a big major feature. And he said, I said, how you doing? I said, I'm here all weekend, whenever you have time. He gave me I'm busy today, but, check with me tomorrow. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. And that was kind of a maybe will, maybe won't.
Right.
So this is like the first day of the series. It's like a Friday. And so about 3:30, about 4:15, the Orioles are doing some early work on the field. They're early groups hitting, and I'm standing behind the batting cage. And Buck Showalter sees me, and he comes over, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing slumming it here in Baltimore?" And I laughed, and I said, "Yeah," I told him what I just told you. I said, "You know, All-Star Games in Miami, we think good chance Manny will be there, and I'm here to do a big feature on him." He said, "Have you talked to him yet?" And I told Buck, same thing I just told you. "Yeah, I checked it with him, and, you know, we're going to maybe hopefully talk tomorrow." You know, he said maybe he'd have some time tomorrow. And then Buck said, "Okay." And he said, "Hang on just a minute." And Manny was just stepping out of the cage. And Buck said, "Hey, Manny, come here." He called him over literally right then. Manny comes over, and Buck says, "Hey, you know Scott?" He said, "Yeah, he's here to do a feature. You're going to talk to him, right?" And then Manny, right then, all of a sudden, maybe tomorrow became, "Yeah, come in early tomorrow, like 3:30 tomorrow, we'll sit down."
Uh-huh.
And I mention that story because Manny, over the past few years, he came into the league so young, and he's still so young. He's had some maturing to do, and I think Buck Showalter, and that's why I just told you that story. I think Buck handled him really well in Baltimore. He helped him mature, and he became like almost a father figure to him. Now, the playoffs last year that you mentioned, obviously, you know, Manny became public villain number one. He didn't run out a couple of balls, and, you know, he kicked Jesus Aguilar. And things kind of spun out of control on him. Obviously, there was the quote, unfortunate quote, to Ken Rosenthal, I'm not Johnny Hustle. I think a couple things. One, Manny has matured quite a bit over the years, but he's still not done maturing. I think we saw that in October. I think that's why somebody like a Buck Showalter was so important in his development. And I think it'll be important in San Diego. You know, Eric Hosmer, Ian Kinsler, a couple of the veterans. You know, they're going to have to help continue to bring him along and help shield him. So I think that's one thing. Secondly, last thing. Not to drag on with my answer too long, but the other thing, I was talking to a number of general managers this winter about what you just asked, about October and the problems Manny had in October. And one general manager made a great point. He said, "I know when he periodically he doesn't bust it to first base. You know, he ground ball to shortstop or whatever. He may jog. It looks bad." But this general manager said, "Look at his lines on baseballreference.com every year, year after year after year. He posts 155 games,
indeed,
157 games. Last year he played 162. So the point was, you know, would you rather have a stud that plays every day and maybe takes a play or two off? Or would you rather have one of the guys that, you know, almost like a false hustle guy, a guy that busts it every play, but then every 6 weeks he comes up with a, you know, pulled hamstring or a hangnail or something he wants out of the lineup?"
It's so interesting you brought that up because I got his baseball reference up right now. Since he had that knee injury, 162, 157, 156, 162 in the last 4 years. So that tells you that's a durable player you have there. And I wonder, had he not used the word Johnny Hustle and used eyewash, would people have kind of perceived that quote a little bit different?
Great question. They very well might have. And, you know, I mean, it's going to take him a while to live that quote down.
Yeah.
There's no question. What's going to happen is he's going to, you know, theoretically this contract gets announced. He's going to come to San Diego. There are going to be games, whenever it is, in May or June, where he's going to be in the middle of playing every day. And it's going to be a routine ground ball to second base, and he'll jog to first. And maybe the second baseman throws it away, and he's still out. And everybody's going to go crazy. But I think you have to remember what you just said, Tony. Look at the game's played line, and that's one area where I think you can really, really appreciate this guy.
Scott Miller from Bleacher Report, our guest on Gwen and Chris. Scotty, with Manny Machado coming to the San Diego Padres, what should Padre fans expect in 2019 out of this ball club? Can they contend in the division?
You know, I don't want to rain on people's parade. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very, you know, it's going to be, for all of us in town, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think there are going to be moments where you look and you say, okay, I can see this starting to come together. Now, where I said I want to rain on everybody's parade, that rotation, man, is so young. Andy Green and Darren Balsley are going to have to work overtime, I think, patching things together.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't get to a situation like Tampa Bay where we get openers and we get, you know, bullpen days every third day. I'd like to see some starters develop it, be developed. But, you know, I think it'd be very interesting if old A.J. Preller could put a cherry on top of this Sunday by somehow acquiring a starting pitcher or two during the spring, whether it's via trade or you know, waiver wire or something like that. If he could pull some magic out of his hat in the rotation, that's when I would say they could be an outside chance to contend.
One of those Miami boys is in that group is still available via free agency in Gio Gonzalez. So it'll be interesting to see if A.J. Preller can pull that one out of his head. I want to switch topics for a second, Scott. Much more somber topic. Don Newcomb, Dodger legend, passed away today. Just to give us your thoughts on Don Newcomb. I know when I signed there in L.A., he was one of the first people I met, really helped me make that transition. Such a wonderful, wonderful gentleman.
Yeah, Tony, and I'm sure you knew him better than I, but I've talked to him a handful of times. I loved batting practice at Dodger Stadium before games, both regular season and home games.
That's when you can catch him.
Yeah, it'd be like 4:30 in the afternoon, and he'd be there with his wife, who, you know, was younger than him, and I say that because she was in better health. He you know, he was what, 92?
92.
Right.
He's been frail, good health, but frail. And his wife, boy, she was there at his side. She was nonsense. I got a kick out of her. She would help him, you know, move around. But also, when people came up, boy, she would screen people.
Yeah, she was the bodyguard, too. Yeah.
Karen was her name, right?
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I loved those afternoons at Dodger Stadium when, you know, he was there and he would, you know, I mean, I was privileged, and I wouldn't use that word with many people, but privileged to have a handful of conversations with him over the years. He's just an elegant, classy guy. I saw somebody on Twitter said something about they used the word regal, and I thought that was a good word. I mean, he dressed, he had style, he looked classy, he was so gentle and graceful and so upbeat and positive. It just one of those guys that has been, he had tough times. I mean, he came up, there was racism, and he played way back with Jackie Robinson, and he played when blacks couldn't stay with the Dodgers at the same hotel, and he went through all that crap that people had, you know, that African Americans had to go back way back when, and you know, I think he had some alcohol issues, and he came out of it all, and just became such a great ambassador for the Dodgers and for baseball, and one of those guys, like, whenever you talked to him, you walked away feeling better than you did before.
I got to tell you a quick story about Don Newcomb. About 5 years ago, that's why I knew his wife Karen, because I sat with her at a ball game one night, and I used to MC the Negro League luncheons for Dave Winfield when he was working for the Padres. And so we get done with the luncheon one day, and Don Newcomb's there, and I go up there, and I'm always wanting to pick guys' brain on, you know, what did you throw, what were your pre? He goes, well, I threw a fastball, a curveball, a changeup, and for 2 years I threw a spitball. I thought that was great. Hey, turn into another topic, and we'll let you get out of here. Your thoughts, not that we didn't assume this was going to probably happen at the end of the year because he was in the final year of his contract, but your thoughts on Bruce Bochy retiring, and even though he's got a losing record, I'm pretty sure right now he's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think even though the record is a losing record, overall, I think I saw somewhere like his what was it? He's got the number of victories he's got has got him, you know, among the top managers, top 5 or 10 or something like that. You know, legend. I mean, no question. I think 3 World Series rings in San Francisco in this decade is going to push him into Cooperstown. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. I don't have any doubt about that. But you know, the other thing, he may have a losing record, but, you know, in a weird way, I think that the what he's done in San Francisco even makes his time in San Diego look better because, as we all know, he didn't have a lot to work with in many, not every, but many of those years in San Diego. And he still usually got the most out of his teams. And I just think, you know, such a baseball guy. I also hate to see him go, not just because I know all three of us have a personal affinity for him, but, you know, the game's changing. And you know, managers now are in their late 30s or 40s, and they're middlemen. You know, I mean, the managers have had most of their power removed. And, you know, the front offices want somebody that they can, that'll, you know, follow some directions. And Boach is a throwback to the Earl Weavers and the Dick Williams and the you know, Sparky Andersons, and that aside from missing him personally when he goes, it also, he's one of the last of the Lions who managed to go, and I hate to see that era end.
Very well put on that, Scotty. Real quick, Bryce Harper, do we have any announcement coming on Bryce Harper in the next 48 hours?
You know, not that I've heard yet tonight. I still think Philadelphia is the obvious landing spot. With Machado just getting done or almost done, I doubt if it'll be that quick, but I think at the earliest, maybe later this week or this weekend, possibly next week. But I think with Manny off the board now, we will see Bryce go relatively soon. But I don't know if it'll be, you know, in the next 24 or 48 hours.
Hey, Scotty, thanks for the time. Safe travels in the grapefruit circuit.
We'll see you guys in Arizona or San Diego soon.
Look forward
to
it. All
right, Scotty. Thank you, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.